106.7 Kennet Radio.
As we approach the 80th anniversary of D-Day on June the 6th, we're going to talk now about the RAF Welford Museum. Just 10 miles northwest of Newbury, RAF Welford was one of half a dozen local airfields used by the United States Air Force in the war, from Aldermaston in the east right through to Ramsbury in Wiltshire. Earlier, I visited the museum and spoke with two of the volunteer curators, starting with Alan Bovingdon Cox.
Well, first of all, if we start with brass tacks, where is RAF Welford and what goes on here?
Well, that's interesting. Whenever I give the talk on RAF Welford, people always ask, well, where is RAF Welford? I'm originally from Thatcham and I'm certainly aware of all that was happening at RAF Greenham Common, and also aware of RAF Welford, but not too sure where it was. So basically, it's between Newbury and Lambourne area, and it's not on the major road, so that's why possibly people don't understand quite where it is. I mean, it was constructed as an airfield back in 1941 for the RAF as an operational training unit, but within 6 months, 1943, the American United States Army Air Force came into RAF Welford and immediately renamed it as RAF Welford Park.
And what can you tell us about what happens here? What goes on?
Well, this is the United States Air Force's second largest munitions storage area in Europe. It all came about because in the 50s, it was decided that the American bomber bases were very vulnerable in the East Anglia area, and they were looking for different locations within the Midlands. So that's where RAF Greenham Common, Fairford, Upper Heyford and Bryce Norton came about. It was called the Oxford Triangle, and obviously they needed a munition site to support those Strategic Air Command bases.
So you've got an excellent museum here. How did that come about?
Very interestingly, it came about by meeting up, interested people. We all met up in a public house in Wantage, just basically to talk about our interest in aviation and military matters. And just by chance, an American service personnel officer from this location at Welford came and joined us on one occasion and suggested that perhaps we may like to meet here at RAF Welford. So obviously he approached the base commander and it was approved, and we've been here at RAF Welford for nearly over 30 years.
And you were saying earlier that the building you're in is the same design as some of the buildings at Greenham Common Base.
I understand, yes. This design building was vacated when RAF Greenham Common closed as a cruise missile base. And if you visit other American bases, I believe there's similar design buildings on those facilities. So when this became vacant, the base commander here at Welford invited us to take occupation of these premises. So when we came into this building, it was totally empty. So what you can see today is what we've had supplied ourselves, or it's been donated, or it's been dug up. And as you can see, there's not a lot of room now left for further exhibits to be brought in. So we're very thankful that the United States Air Force allow us as civilians to be on their base.
So we're standing here, we've got a big Stars and Stripes flag. So we've got a model of a US Air Force officer, and we've also got a turret from a Lancaster bomber. Tell us about just a couple of the things that you've got here.
Well, it was the 80th anniversary of RAF Welford last year, so we decided that it would be very appropriate if we could actually manufacture a diorama of how RAF Welford Park looked in 1943, which we have created.
So we're standing in front of an open plan, what would you call this, a diorama, yeah, of RAF Welford. Tell us about that.
Well, what we've created here is the intersection of the two runways that there was here at Welford, and it displays that the two troop carrier groups that were here at one time, the first carrier group was the 315th, which we've located in one part of the airfield diorama, and then later the 435th troop carrier group came along, were based here at Welford. So we created the base, but our expertise didn't go as far as creating the model. So we approached model clubs in Abingdon and Newbury and other locations, and they did the model making. And they're superb C-47 Dakotas, Horsa glider, and the other glider there. And the serial numbers are correct for the group. The codings are correct. So this was our way of the anniversary of the 80th of RAF Welford. And we've had great praise on how it looks, yes. Mm.
And the scene that you've got in the diorama at the moment is very busy. Would that have actually taken place, or is it a collage, if you like, a montage of various things?
Yes, it's a montage of two Krupp Garrier groups. They were not both at Welford at the same time. The 315th were here for a very short time, and the 435th was here much longer. And this kind of scenario was happening all over the local areas, Airfield, Greenham Common, Aldermaston, Ramsbury, Membury, it goes on. This was the primary role, D-Day plus one and on. So a very busy airspace at that time. The wall art you can see here is originally World War II wall art from Membury. We were aware of the particular building being demolished, so we approached the landlord and said, look, the historical value of that piece of wall art, may we take it down? So we went over with their permission, we cut it out of the building and brought it back here for exhibition. This wall here that you see, we got to hear that they were going to demolish the large hangar at Greenham Common. So again, with the permission of the landowner, we had a look round the hangar, and we found this wall art. And we thought, no, that mustn't go into a skip. So again, we went over there as a team, and we actually cut this piece out of the wall of the hangar, brought it back to Welford into the museum, assembled it as best we can. But historically, it's not that old in years, but it's a very significant piece of wall art. It reads Alpha Flight, too hot to handle. So that was a flight in that particular hangar.
And a remarkable skull and claw with the A in big letters in flames. Yeah. And I also see that they've got the actual cruise missile lorries, would we call them? The transporters and the missiles themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So somebody within A Flight was a very good artist. And I mean, it all goes back to World War II with wall art. And, you know, you can recall, you know, the signage and the pictures on the nose cones of aircraft and what have you. Mm. So there was somebody very articulate with actually drawing these cruise missile transporters.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And the one from Membury has got Pegasus, I think that is, the horse with the wings.
Yes, absolutely.
And then that has airmen
that must have
on
some
it.
Significance to the actual squadron that was actually flying from Membury on that occasion. Mm. So, yes, it was amazing what was left after World War II in the way of wall art. Mm. We found it all over the UK, that, you know, these wonderful pieces. And again, if we hadn't recovered that, that would have been in a skip and never be seen again.
Tell us about just one more exhibit that you've got here that you're proud of.
Well, we are particularly proud of one exhibition.
We're looking at a montage of medals and photographs of airmen. Tell us about that, please, Alan.
Yes, on the 31st of March 1944, a 101 Squadron Lancaster was on its way back from a Nuremberg raid. And for some unknown reason that they've not been able to establish, it actually crashed on the airfield here at RAF Welford. Interestingly, it was a very special Lancaster model because it carried an additional crewman. So there was a crew of eight. And that eighth airman was German-speaking. He was Australian. And the reason for it is that this particular Lancaster was what they called was a spy plane or an ABC aircraft. The reason being that the German-speaking person could listen into the Luftwaffe and give spurious information out. So 101 Squadron were particularly, that was their particular aircraft on the mission. You can see the crew members here, made up of Commonwealth crew, four UK crew members, two from Australia, two from Canada. And interestingly, it's a 101 Squadron aircraft, and it just so happens that 101 Squadron are currently operating out of RAF Brize Norton, flying the Voyager aircraft. So on the 31st of March each year, we have a memorial service, and we invite 101 Squadron to come along. And this year, they came along with 12 members of the squadron to lay wreaths at the memorial grove. And very fortunately, we had a model created of the particular aircraft by retired sappers who came up all the way from Kent to present that model of the aircraft to the museum.
So we've got the names of the eight airmen who died tragically in the accident. So that, just to be clear, that it was a Lancaster and that limped back to Welford, is that right?
Well, it was making its way back to its airfield, its home base in Lincolnshire, Ludford Magna. And we have the accident report here. It's only two pages, and the actual accident report itself is very thin and not into great detail. But it gives you an idea of the crew and their positions and everything we would need to know. But it's not very specific on why it crashed. We think it was probably just battle damage, and which brought it down. And but interestingly, at the service this year, we had three families here representing the crew. So the German-speaking airman, this is the great-niece of Airman Traeger. She was here a few weeks ago, along with the families of Airman Bilson and Aidy, two UK crew members. So very fitting, and each year we try and hold the memorial service on the 31st of March, but this year it was difficult because it was Easter Sunday, so we had to reprogram it.
So if someone wants to come and see your exhibitions, they have to do it by arrangement, I understand. How do they go about that?
The difficulty we have is because we're on a military base and security implications involved with that. The Americans certainly support us to invite groups along. So the best way to do it is to go onto our website, the RAF Welford Historical Society website, and there is a contact details in there. Sadly, if you were to turn up at the main gate at RAF Welford wishing to look at the museum, sadly you will not be allowed in. But if we are here on a particular day, well then we will be contacted, we will come down to the gate. But it has got to be organised. We have many groups coming along, but there is a security issue, so we do need details of each person attending. And once that's been approved by the USAF, they're more than welcome to join us.
And it's very important, really, isn't it, that nowadays that young people, like myself, I'm old, but we haven't been through war. So it's important we're reminded about the horror of war, isn't it? And your museum helps to do that, doesn't it?
Yes, we've had several school children come along, group visits from school, which they've enjoyed. And if it's on their school curriculum, it's ideal. But sadly, we don't get a great interest from the young. We have approached many schools in the local areas, but it's difficult. But we realise as a group the importance of maintaining certainly the history of Welford and Greenham Common and other airfields in the locality. And really, it's become more than a hobby what we're doing today. We meet here every Wednesday to work on our exhibits. There's always plenty to do. And thankfully, we're supporting Newbury Town Council with their D-Day anniversary on the 6th of June. So we'll be at Greenham Common with many of our exhibits. So we're looking forward to that. And Also in June, we've been invited to attend the Grove and Wantage extravaganza again, D-Day anniversary event where we'll be put on an exhibition. So June is being a very busy month for us.
Best of luck with that. I hope you get a lot of people interested in your museum. And thank you so much for having me here today. It's been a huge privilege. Thank you, Alan.
Well, thank you. It's been a privilege to have to come along, and I hope you've enjoyed your morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Alan Bovingdon Cox, who is chairman of the RAF Welford Historical Society, talking about the RAF Welford Museum, which is within the base just 10 miles northwest of Newbury. RAF Welford was one of half a dozen local airfields used by the United States Air Force in the war. At one stage, there was a special military railway connecting RAF Welford to the main national railway network. This was after the war. Mick Dowdswell from the museum told me about it.
Tell us about the RAF Welford Military Railway, which a lot of people don't realise existed.
That's correct. Well, the Lambourne Valley Railway, after many years, actually opened in April 1898 from Newbury to Lambourne. They ran out of money fairly soon, and in 1905, the Great Western took it over, and they did a lot of improvements because the rails and things like that were very poor. So it went on through the years, and then later on it got taken over by British Railways, which I think most people know sort of went downhill from then, and they were cutting costs. But in 1952-ish, the government decided that the Welford would be a good place for munitions for the USAF. So in 52, they decided to start building a four-lane marshalling yard down at Welford Station on the LVR, Lambourne Valley Railway. Took 3 years to do because of the conditions. They had to do some very deep cuttings through very soft chalk, and the weather was bad, but eventually it did open in 1955, and mainly it was diesel shunter engines that the Americans use, but at times they had to use the British engines, a Panier 060 Panier tank and a 2201 class to take the munitions up and down. The munitions you'd come in from Newport, Wales and places like that, and come into Newbury, and from then Newbury up into Welford, and then from Welford up into the Welford base.
So it was a little spur off from Welford Park to the base. And was it going up a hill or anything like that?
Yes, it was quite a bit, one foot in 80. So it was quite an incline, but they tried to alleviate that by the deep cuttings, which is shown on this board here, and as you can see the photographs, it was very difficult conditions. So there was a fair incline, but by probably 1973 was about the last time it was ever used. The actual line from Welford to Lambourne, that was shut in January 1960, but there was still freight coming into the Welford down in the valley there. The public freight to Welford sort of dwindled off into nothing, but the USAF freight was still coming in. But that dwindled off, especially after 1971, when the spur off the M4 was opened. And by 73, all munitions would be coming in from road of that spur.
So what's left of that railway line?
Nothing really. Mm. It was all taken up, as of course was the LVR, Lambourne Valley Railway. So there's no sign of it now. Mm. We've just got the imprint of it, if you like, on a an ordnance survey map. You can see certain places where there's deep cuttings, and that is marked on their disused railway. So it didn't last all that long, really. 20 years.
That's excellent. Thank you very much indeed, Mick.
That was Mick Dowdeswell from the RAF Welford Museum talking about the military railway, which at one stage connected up RAF Welford to the main national railway network. My thanks to Mick and Alan Bovingdon Cox from the RAF Welford Historical Society for inviting me up to RAF Welford and for being so generous with their time.
From Newbury's Corn Exchange to Crookham Common, this is Kennet Radio.